Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
No, no, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King. With
Todd. You say funny things.
Well, it's been a busy week.
Busy.
I know you've been busy at work.
I've been busy as shit.
You've been busy as shit.
As
shit usually sets there.
Well, then I've been busier than shit.
Been a lot busier than shit.
I've been as busy as shit that's really busy.
Like active shit, like when it's coming
Very
out.
Very active. Like spinning crazy. Shit kick busy.
Oh, that's fucking
that's
insane.
How busy I've been.
That is insane. I've been busy. Brent's been busy.
And you've been busy growing a handsome ass beard as well.
I am. I'm getting one. I've never been able. Actually, I've never tried. I've never let my beard grow. A week maybe. Like, I can't think I've went longer than a week without.
Like you're gonna have like a full on like fucking Grizzly Adams.
I think so. He did have a beard.
Yeah, you got the chops.
Yeah, it's growing. So it's full. I don't know if it's gonna grow long, but it is full.
You're gonna make me have to attempt it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Speaking of that, that was a good lead in too. I want to thank Big Dobbs, who owns Big Dobbs Beard Balms and Oils and whatnot. You can check him out on Strong Beard Game on Instagram. He hit us up and sent us some sauce. Yeah, sauce for the beard
sauce. There's a whole new product.
Yeah, so he gave us a conditioning bar and I guess it's a conditioning bar or like a soap bar, beard soap bar, and some different flavors of beard oils. So and immediately Brent put it on.
Smell nice.
So, yeah, it does smell good. Yeah. And we appreciate it. So give him a look at Strong Beard Game on Instagram. And again, thank you to anybody who sends us stuff. Thank you, and we appreciate it. And that's it.
That's it.
All right, show's over.
I need more whiskey. I have more whiskey. I had a little bit.
I know. I wanted
don't
some.
Don't look behind you.
Don't look down.
Whoa.
Yeah, don't look down. Yeah, I've been staring over there, like trying to figure out what I wanted.
That was the problem just now. I was like indecisiveness. I have the Jameson Black Barrel Reserve.
It's pretty nice. That's what I'm drinking too.
That was given to us by Brian Sandrini.
It's very good.
Shout out. Like every week, I posted an El Yucateco post and we asked for like, share, and comment. And we asked for funny stories this time. And there was lots of masturbation and chopping of jalapenos.
There was.
And wolf cocks.
Yeah, there was.
Whatever that means. There was some good. Really good stuff. Yeah.
The Wolfcock almost made it.
Yeah. And the El Yucateco representatives actually contacted me and I was scared, but they were laughing and they thought it was funny. So we're still safe. We haven't crossed, we haven't totally crossed the line. But we do have a Teco Hot Sack winner of the week. He is the unprofessional wrestler, also known as Joe Sima.
Yes.
He went to a local Target and we don't encourage you to do this. You could go to jail. So, you know. You are your own person. Do so at your own risk. He wished hellfire and said that SK Ultra would rain hellfire upon this Target and scared a 16-year-old worker. And she asked if it was like the mob. And he just said, you'll find out, and walked away.
Yeah. And that's like, I mean.
If that's a true story, that's pretty funny. But,
I mean, you don't want to fuck with Joe Sima. Like,
careful.
He looks like John Cena.
Yeah.
But really unprofessional.
Right.
Yeah. Just kind of sloppy, a little overweight.
Yeah. Never practices.
Never practices anymore. He's wearing one wrestling boot and one sandal. Yeah. It just doesn't go over well, but he's still a big guy.
Yeah.
And very intimidating to girls. Yeah. So.
Yeah, raining hellfire at a Target might be a terrorist threat, so you should probably be careful and not do that. But it did this week pay off for Joe Sima, and we'll be sending him a package. So
yes.
Thank you for all the funny stories, though. I laughed more than once, that's for sure.
Yes. And as usual, we want to give thanks to our Patreons. If you like the show...
It's patrons.
Patrons.
Yes.
Patreons.
No.
How dare you correct an English professor?
I'm just saying. He would correct me. If I wrote him a paper...
If he could have turned red, he would have.
If I wrote him a paper, he's going to correct it.
Okay, I am.
Yeah.
Red pen in hand.
But I want to thank our...
I have his red pen.
I want to thank our Patreons for
one going, star.
I'm glad I could help you out. I mean, the chance I get to correct people.
For going to... And you can find us. What's the webbly doubledies on?
Backslash dollar sign. P.
No, it's www.com/patreon/ Sofa King Podcast.
Part of the fun is if you could actually, you could try to give us money, but we'll make it as difficult as possible.
Yeah. And I'm so bad at speaking, I actually meant to say it right. And right. That's how it came out. So I just realized after I said it was wrong.
If you like the show, by all means, go in and give us some money. If you don't like the show, by all means, go in and give us even more money.
Yeah.
But we,
I think it's even greater if you don't like the show and you go in and give us a bunch of money.
Kill us with kindness. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we might quit.
Right.
We could give us enough, we'll quit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as usual, we want to thank our patrons by looking into them and like finding out stuff and like sharing. We want to build like a, you know, the Sofa King community and let everybody know a little bit about each other.
It's like the meet and greet.
So we want to talk about a couple and then we'll cover a lot of them at the end of the show as well. But we wanted to talk about three specifically. Sarah Catherine, we looked into her and she's got like two passions in life. One is animal activism and the other one is that she's an escape artist. And she's actually she's like fused them in this really interesting career. And what she does is she sneaks around and she teaches lab rats how to be escape artists so that if they end up getting caught, they can break out of the cage.
It seems ridiculous.
I would have thought she like tried to get in the zoo to like free the tigers and like almost get killed in the act.
No, specifically rats. Oh. I don't think she tried. Almost got killed by
some rat. People like rats.
Yeah, rats are cool.
You ever seen male rats? Their balls are like the size of fucking walnuts. It's insane, dude. I managed a pet store. It is like, what is going on, dude?
I'm glad you threw in the pet store thing, because otherwise I was like, what are you?
Yeah.
Do the pigeons know? That's my question.
Yeah, two scale. Yeah.
Did you see that one on the fence? His balls were huge.
Yeah, that was before then. They do run in the same circles. Yeah. They hang out on telephone poles together and shit. But that was in a different life. That was back in the day. So I've moved on.
Okay. We want to thank Dylan Gregory for his patronage. And apparently he's an animator and he has been for a while. And like he doesn't really let people know this, but he talked to me on Instagram because I asked him what all he animated. And like his claim to fame is he did all the animation for the anime for the Aum Shinriko cult.
Oh, he did the movies.
Yeah, he did the movies.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah. So I wanted to give him a shout out because that's pretty cool.
And then, every time I'm drawing Asian people, I can't make them Japanese or Chinese. It's just there's always a tree involved.
And it's easy really for me because the eyes are the hardest part of drawing. I just draw a line. And
somebody did ask me. They were like, because I always say Japanese are up in the trees. We know that from Dave's mom.
Right.
They're always up in the tree sniping people. But what happens when you see a Japanese person out and about? And I told them that they're looking for a tree. They lost their other tree. It was either taken over or chopped down.
Well, the other thing though, because my mom didn't insist that all they do is get in trees. Like she did say that a lot, but she also at times indicated that they also just go around killing GIs with flamethrowers.
Oh. Yeah.
So if they're not in a tree, watch for a flamethrower.
Halloween is a dangerous time of the year. Choose your costume wisely.
Yeah.
And then our final Patreon shout out, and we'll do some more at the end of the show, is Andrew Sanders. And Andrew Sanders, apparently, it's kind of a sad story. He should be rich because he invent, you know, the sun chip.
Mm.
Like from, I don't know who makes
a bag of chips
or something, like the sun chips.
He made the loud bag, didn't he?
No. He invented sun chips.
Okay.
And Frito-Lay ended up buying them for like nothing from him. He didn't make any money on it because when he created them, he called them shitty, shitty dung-dungs.
That's just bad marketing.
That was bad marketing.
Some people just aren't good at
the writing was on the wall.
He's good at chips. He's bad at marketing.
And Frito-Lay saw it. They were like, these chips are good. We just got to call them
chips. Yeah, we can't call them shitty, shitty dung-dungs. No one's going to buy those things.
Yeah. He should have said shitty, shitty dum-dums. This is some good chip. If he'd have done it like that, that's good marketing. That's bad marketing. Maybe that would have turned around. Shitty, shitty, dumb, dumb, some good chip.
So those are our patrons. If you like us, go and give us some love and so forth and so on.
Patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast
That's actually the real thing.
That's it. You can get there doing that.
Indeed.
So we got a hot sack winner. We talked about rat ball sacks.
Yeah.
We talked about some patrons.
I think we're
Patreons. And now we're going to talk about the killing of a lot of children.
Yeah, dead children. That's what comes next.
Oh, you get there. A logical
it's like evolution. What's the 7 degrees? 7 degrees, the dead children.
Yeah.
Started off with Joe Sema.
Yep. Then we get the dead children. So in Atlanta, Joja. Between 1979 and 1981, and I had heard of none of this, but we've covered a lot of serial killers lately, and we were talking recently.
Yeah, tell them why, Dave.
Yeah, because I said
hit him with why.
I had said that all the serial killers tend to be white, and Brad corrected me and said that there were.
Yeah, it turns out we were wrong.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. No. So he pointed out some
Asian
other
joke. All the Asians got it.
Some other killings that were done by African Americans, and one was this series of Atlanta child murders. And so, approximately 29 African American children, teens, and young adults, mostly boys, went missing and then were found murdered a couple days later in Atlanta. Ended up being a huge thing. The FBI called the case the At Kid case, ATKID, which was short for Atlanta Kid for Child Murderers. And it ended up being a huge thing. It was one of the biggest manhunts in at the time, it was the biggest manhunt in the United States history. There were something like 400 investigators involved with trying to find who it was, multi-agency task force. Like it was a pretty big deal. You can go to the FBI website and you can read a lot of the actual like arrest records and files from the thing itself. But
it's pretty deep. Like it's a pretty crazy thing. I did find out that since 2010, that one in five serial killers are now black, and they're finding out that as it gets more, it's like up to 50% of the serial killers are black now. So they're actually coming into
it. It's
like white people infiltrating basketball. Like they're coming into our field of killing people.
That's what I'm saying. If black people are as good at killing as they are at sports like they're gonna dominate the killing game.
Yeah, kill it.
Athletic and explosive like really helps when you're trying to get away from.
It's actually the story Harry Potter was based off of this, but they thought that white would sell better. And Gary Coleman, child actor, was actually he tried to kill him, but obviously you can't kill him.
Right.
And some of his powers were transferred to him because at the time he was actually still a child, and that's how he was only supposed to live to like age 15, and he made it till the ripe old age of right fucking now, still alive, terrorizing the world. He has that scar on his forehead. You haven't told. It's hard to see. It's keloid. It's hard to see. It's in his hairline, but it's there.
Right, it's
I got
there.
Lost. I don't know how Harry Potter got into it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It's a child and a bad guy that goes around killing people, try to kill him.
I've never watched Harry Potter.
You've never watched Harry Potter? Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
I can't talk
I like Harry Potter.
I'm not opposed to it.
You did that on purpose. You like ban it because it was too trendy or something.
No,
it's some kind of English like.
Well, no, because at first I was like, everybody was raving about it and everybody's like, the books are really good. Well, no, because I was going to wait and I was going to read the books and then I was going to watch the movies.
And then there was eight.
But then there's like a fucking billion books. I'm like, I got other shit to read. I'm not going to sit around reading Harry Potter for a year of my life.
Maybe if you didn't have to be that nerd guy, it's like the book was so much better and just fucking watch the movie, you'd be done in like fucking an hour a night.
I just wanted to read the book. That's all.
To people who read, to people who can make it past page 60, the book is always better than the movie.
I think that's a snob thing. Maybe I don't know though, because I couldn't argue that.
Probably is.
Yeah, I never make it to the end.
You could read the first 60 pages and then watch like the first 20 minutes and then just sob.
Ooh,
and
there you go.
And you'd have that comparison.
Character development. I could see how that was. Building rapport. I know where I'm at. All right.
Yep. So the killings, rightfully or wrongfully, were pinned on a guy named Wayne Bertram Williams, He's the one who got arrested for technically two of the 29 murders.
The last two. And they tacked on 10 and then the rest.
Right.
Like,
so we'll talk about the murders. We'll talk about him a little bit, but there is a lot of debate as to whether or not he was the killer, whether he was the lone killer, whether he killed all of them, whether there might have been multiple killers, et cetera. But there's a lot. It's not as cut and dry as a lot of serial killer cases tend to. Usually they finally get caught and then they like fucking gush to the police about all the fucking shit they did.
For one, I mean, it's kind of like all of the serial killer cases is that they people reported kids missing and they didn't give a shit.
Right.
Like it, like a lot of times, you know, they're saying like in this, because it was Atlanta, Georgia, 12 years after Martin Luther King has been shot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the city, the city's still divided. You know what I mean? Like it's integrated, but yet divided.
Yeah.
If a white person walks into the ghetto, everybody's going to stop what they're doing and watch them. Like
so
they,
it was safe for black people times, but it was also not safe for black people in Atlanta times.
Yeah. This is not safe for black children in Alabama times.
So there's very little. I tried to look into his background to see if we could like check the serial killer boxes, but I couldn't find shit about this guy's background.
He had a pretty good childhood. Parents were teachers. He like had a radio hobby.
Yeah,
he was radio stations.
Yeah, his dad was a photographer for the paper.
Yep.
He also helped work at the paper.
He was raised in Dixie Hills in Southwest Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He had a keen interest in radio journalism. He did radio stuff. He created his own like sort of radio station.
He's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy, but there wasn't any information. I mean, you know, we normally look at that checklist of did they have a strange injury? Was there a brain injury?
Yeah.
Was there some weird sexual thing that happened when they were young? And that information just isn't there.
And one of the things is he's still alive. He's still in prison, alive, and he's still to this day saying he did not commit the murders.
Yes.
So,
but again, white serial killers always confess that they did all the killings themselves. But since if he is a black serial killer, he might also be living under the black coda of
there might be something different.
Bitches get stitches,
I can't snitch on myself.
Yeah,
snitch. Then I got to beat myself up.
He's not going to snitch on himself, so he keeps his mouth shut.
And I agree because I go with that because I posted a thing on the tier system in the Facebook group. And I felt like it created more confusion, even though it's very clear cut. There are no other races. It's black and white. This guy lands clearly a 3 or a 4 on the black scale.
Felt clear, but it's a 3 or 4.
Well, I mean, you know, like I don't know too much about his backstory, but I mean, he grew up in the ghetto. Like he lived in the ghetto. And the way he talks is putting him at, I'll just say solid 4. And because he even said, I went to the liquor store. So, I mean, that right there is an indication of the code. And so since he's not close to the white tier, the bitches get snitches or snitches get bitches thing.
That all works.
Yeah. Bitches get stitches thing.
Right.
Snitches get stitches.
With itches.
Yes. And they itch very much.
There's a Harry Potter reference again. I'm just going to put it out there. You wouldn't know though.
So
now you're just going to start saying words are Harry Potter references.
Snitch. Mm-hmm. That's a Harry Potter thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. A sneech?
Sure.
Yellow belly sneech.
Sneech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just quietly going to be a nerd over here.
Okay.
I'm going to drink some more whiskey. You guys
It's that way every show. I don't know what's different about
this one. I'm slowly slipping that. Just keep stabbing little bad jokes. See what happens.
Bananas.
What?
It has to do with Harry Potter.
I had a mouthful of whiskey.
You almost got a whiskey spit take out.
Oh, man. Snort
over
there. Oh,
man. Okay. So some of the victims we can look at. You start to see a pattern. The first victim that happened was in 1979, a guy named Teddy Smith. And another guy named Alfred Evans, who was known as Q, were both 14. They disappeared 4 days apart. Their bodies were both found on July 28th in a wooded area. Teddy had a .22 caliber gunshot in his upper back, and they were both in the same spot, even though there was a 4 day separation. So people assumed that they were killed by the same person and taken out there. And that was kind of the start of it. And at the beginning,
All the bodies were found in the woods. That does the MO kind of changes in the middle, but at the beginning, that was where.
Yeah, and there's a good reason why it changed too. So
yeah, I don't know if I know the good reason.
Well, Dave so, with the, so, agree with Brad, but then back.
Yeah, but then I had to I had to clarify.
Like, so like the first 12 or 14 victims, they're in a wooded area,
right?
Far from town, like upwards of 20 miles. They were killed and then dropped pretty much, you know, and they even said like most murder, like non-serial killer victims are dead where they,
sure,
where they get killed, right? You know, no, like they just stay there. Nobody's placing them somewhere else. But what happened was, an investigator talked to a reporter and said that they were finding fibers and some other things on the victims' bodies. Mm-hmm. And so he started, the killer started stripping them of their clothes, leaving them in their underwear and throwing them in the river.
Just
in the Chattahoochee. Yeah.
Got it.
So where the days get hotter than a hoochie coochie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Pyramid that's of cans by the pale moonlight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other people started missing on September 4th. 14-year-old Milton Harvey disappeared. He was.
Oh, he deserved it.
Yeah, he did, little bastard. He was running to the. He was doing an errand for his mother. He was running to the bank on a 10-speed bike. They found the bike in a remote area of Atlanta, and they didn't find him until actually 1979. So it was a good 8 years later that they found him.
That was a good hiding spot. He was playing hide and go seek, and nobody ever came and found him. That's what happened.
Even though he
I take it back. It was just, this was in 1970. For some reason, I was thinking it was 70. So they found him.
He died in September. 1971 star or 81 star?
It was 81 star.
Okay.
He died in September. They found him in November. Then the third one or the fourth one right away was a guy named Yusuf Bell went to buy snuff for a neighbor named Eula Birdsong.
I watched the interview with her. Yeah.
Oh, did you? What was that like?
The guilt probably, right?
I like how you're calling him guys. He was 9 years old.
Like, that's true. He was a kid.
Yeah. Like this dude. Yeah.
How was he buying snuff though? They were like,
They sold snuff.
It's the liquor
store. Sold snuff porn. Like in that time, like that was big then.
No, different thing.
You know what snuff is for real though, right?
Snuff porn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where they shoot, kill the person.
My grandma, I think we talked about it before in Tennessee, used to do snuff.
Is it like chew?
It's chew. No, you snort it.
It's like a powdered tobacco.
It's super powdered. Like it's kind of like Copenhagen, but you snort it and it gets stuck in your mucous membrane and like drips down the back.
I was thinking
throat.
It was tobacco.
No. Yeah. You put it on.
No, it is a tobacco, but it's a powder.
I know. I was thinking it was like chewing tobacco. So they're just feeding the crack habit. If you couldn't afford crack, you were
probably
doing
more expensive than crack. I think. I don't know what crack's going for these days.
I don't know.
Yeah. A can of Copenhagen's not cheap. So snuff's probably not either. It's probably a fancy thing.
Back then it was probably cheap.
Anyways. Yeah. He was going to get snuff for the neighbor lady.
Yeah.
And then he got into a blue car, say witnesses, with a light skinned man and a dark skinned man, possibly.
Yeah. And that leads to some of the interesting theories and so forth themselves.
The blue car. There's a lot of blue car.
Yeah.
A lot of white station wagon. And there's a lot of two guys. Two guys, which is weird.
Yeah. His body was found. So again, he disappeared in October. They found him in November in an abandoned elementary school by a janitor who was looking for a place to urinate.
Which I thought was funny. Like out of all those keys the janitor carries, he didn't have keys to a bathroom. I know it's an abandoned school.
It's an abandoned school.
He just happened to be a janitor.
Couldn't you just take a whiz anywhere? Yeah. It's abandoned.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, I don't know if I open this water. So if I die, I just opened it and I don't think I opened it. It didn't pop.
Where'd you get that water?
From the gas station.
You're going to die for sure. Or start tripping balls right now from LSD.
You might start tripping balls.
Is LSD odorless?
Yeah. And tasteless. It's like iocane powder.
Oh, here we go.
A little joke for some of you guys. Here goes a ride.
So they found him. He'd been hit over the head twice, and the cause of death was strangulation, which again starts to become part of the pattern. Most of these people that die, they find that there was strangulation involved,
either by rope or chokehold, like literally rear naked choke.
Yeah,
back then it was like WWF.
Yeah,
he gave him noogies while he was doing it.
It was called the sleeper hold.
Yeah, the sleeper. Jake the Snake.
That's right.
Jake the Snake Roberts was the killer. He was in Atlanta at this time.
So there were another couple that went on, like in March of 1980, the first female victim, a girl named Angel Lanier, disappeared. She was at her friend's house watching Samford and the Son, which is a total date stamp for when this happened.
I didn't see a girl. It was all boys.
No. Really? I thought that one was funny specifically. There's all these weird details, like, oh, the yellow 10-speed watching Samford and the Son was on the phone before he took a hammer to fix his bike.
Right.
Like, I was thinking to myself, like, damn, do I remember all these little things about, like, your kid? Like, what's your kid wearing right now?
Right.
Like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, what was he building, Legos? Like, what weird little fact am I going to have? Yeah.
So this one, she's found, and there's a pair of white panties that didn't belong to her stuffed in her mouth, and her hands were bound with an electrical cord, and the cause of death was strangulation. So
I'm saying he didn't do that one.
Yeah, that doesn't kind of doesn't fit. I don't know. But again, there were some other ones. On March 11th, there's an 11-year-old who disappears running an errand for his mother. So again, I mean, really what this is teaching you is if you're a kid, don't run errands for adults.
I just had that conversation. I was like, when I go after studying, it's like, yeah, on the way to the pool, on the way to the store, all of it, even back in the day with the fucking rare stamp shit.
It was like
from the bus station, on the way to their parents.
Well, it was like 9:30 at night, these kids would be out running around. And it's like,
which we did. I know you did that shit.
Yeah, I did too. I grew up in the hood. And like, you
when the
run
street
around.
Lights came on, then you're supposed to go home.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen. Like, no. In the hood, I was out till midnight. My parents didn't know where I was.
You mine
know,
wasn't
like,
that bad. But when the street lights came on, like, I needed to go home.
No, I was way past that.
Kind of strange. Lights.
Yeah, way past street lights.
Were you supposed to be back by the street lights?
No, my parents didn't know. Okay. They didn't care.
So this one, 11-year-old Jeffrey Mathis disappears running an errand. And again, the witnesses say he got into a blue car with a light-skinned man and a dark-skinned man. They didn't find him for 11 months, and they couldn't tell what the cause of death was on him. But we just keep seeing these things happen, right? We've got the strangulation. We've got the buried in the woods. We've got usually multiple people in a blue car. A lot of people start to say that they don't specifically say the dark skin man, but they say that one of them had some sort of a mark or a scar
on
their face. And that becomes prominent later on.
And rough and tough with Afro puffs too, wearing a hat with Afro puffs sticking out
the side. Yeah.
A lot of these, some of these eyewitnesses were thrown out too. They were labeled not credible.
Right.
So like the man in the blue car thing, like that wasn't a big thing in the trial.
Well, because he didn't get tried for this shit though. That's the other thing.
There's a lot of stuff he wasn't tried for.
Wayne didn't get tried for any of these, but I mean,
they just closed the cases on all these. Yeah. He's not tried for any of this shit. He's only tried for the two people.
Yeah. So LaTanya Wilson disappears June 22nd, 1980. Again, said by the witnesses to have been abducted by two men, one white, one black. June 23rd, the very next day, Aaron Weich disappears after going to a local grocery store. Again, seen getting into a blue Chevrolet with either one or two black men, according to the witnesses. So we've just got
that LaTanya Wilson one was scary. They crawled through an apartment window. So like one guy crawled through an apartment window, and the witness said they saw the one man holding her, like, you know, like you would carry a baby, yelling to the other guy in the parking lot, like, hey, talking to another guy in the parking lot, like open the trunk or whatever the fuck they were doing. So you had to go in there and like knock her out because he was carrying her, and he came through the window to get to her. That's extra scary. That wasn't on the way to the liquor store for fucking snuff.
And the thing is though, but I mean the way this case concludes like kind of baffles me, because so many of these murders, all the witnesses are saying it's two people in a blue car.
Yeah, but these weren't even the main murders that he was tacked to. Like,
he's still sort of blanketly assumed to have done all these, even though all the witnesses, like, but why aren't the cops looking for another guy or a person in a blue car instead of this guy by himself in
he
a white
wasn't,
car?
He wasn't even a person of interest until the very end. Mm-hmm. Like, he was literally not even on the radar until the last couple, four kids were killed, basically, or two adults and two kids.
Right.
So like I said, a lot of these, like I watched, a CNN documentary? Did you watch that one, Brent?
Yeah.
And they didn't even mention the girls. It was just boy after boy after boy after boy. Dropped them in the woods, dropped them in the woods, dropped them in the woods, dropped them in the woods. Oh, now water, you know, and then it really fucked up their investigation.
Right.
But I really, he was through the interview, I was like, okay, you know,
Wayne,
I was giving
Wayne.
This is Wayne
Wilson.
Yeah, this is Wayne. And I'm watching him, and it just felt like he thought he was smarter than the cops. Like you, when she's talking to him, he has that serial killer checkbox that, you know, oh, I'm going to beat the cops. Like I'm smarter than the cops. Well,
talked about that. A profiler was discussing that that is a phenomenon that happens with serial killers. And that's why you see the kills escalate from one every couple months or even one a year in the beginning to like one a week, one a day. Like sometimes because they get to this point where they're like, I've been doing this and whatever I'm doing is working. They haven't caught me. It's in the news. I'm just driving around doing it. And so they get that mentality that they can't be caught. They're invincible. And so then, you know, and they probably start to believe their own story and their own lies. So when they're talking to that person, that dude's been in jail for a long time, you know? Yeah. So when he's telling that, he's probably said that shit so many times he believes it now.
Well, but the thing is, cause I only watched that one clip that Brent showed me. Everything else, I was just trying to read articles about him. But even the arrogance, apparently was early on because while he was under investigation, like before the trial even happened, when the cops had already pulled him over, and we'll get to that in a second, but he'd already been accused of some stuff, but they were trying to gather more evidence. They couldn't keep him because they didn't have enough evidence. So he was back at home on bail. And during that time, he held a press conference. And he got a bunch of reporters to show up at his house.
It didn't show his face or anything.
But he, you know, confessed that he failed the polygraph test. And apparently like he was just talking about all this stuff because he was fairly media savvy, but apparently for the whole time, for the 2 or 3 weeks before he was finally arrested, when he was still out, there were always cops that were surveilling him. And he was said to always go by the cops and like bust their balls and taunt them and like talk graphically about all this fucked up shit that was happening and the murders. And so apparently he was just like, you know, cruising by the cops, taunting him.
Well, part of his fuck up too is that the polygraphs, that he failed 3 polygraph tests.
3 of them.
They were actually inadmissible in court. And then he went and announced it to the press that he failed them.
Right.
So like he tainted his own image.
And it was, did you kill this person? And he's like, no. And it's like, fail. Like the guy was like, he failed all of the simple questions.
But it's because he had lotion on though. He was ashy and he failed it because of that. That's why.
Yeah. He was too slippery.
The polygraphs are crazy though. It was like the guy, the polygraph guy was like, I told him the questions I was going to ask him. And then I asked him under the thing. And then after we got done, he would ask, what's this? And he would be like, oh, well, that's the question where I asked you this. And he's like, okay, well, what's this? And he's like, that's your heart rate. Okay, well, what's this? Oh, that's that question. And then they would do it again. And he was trying to manipulate
the
polygraph. Right. And he failed it 3 times in a row, trying to manipulate it. And the guy even said, he's like, he thought he could pass the poly.
Right.
Like he thought he could pass it.
Right.
You should have put Ben Gay on his balls. That's how you do it.
Probably.
Yeah. That is how you
do it.
You put a needle in your shoe and step.
But again, again though, I think it's I think even like forensics experts and so on tend to look back at the cases and agree that even if you think he did some of these murders, they're like, we can't say he did all these murders.
Right.
Like there was one case in May 18th, 1979. And this is the one you mentioned with the bicycle and the hammer. This guy, Eric Middlebrooks, disappears. He was last seen on the phone. He hurries off on his bicycle. They end up finding his bike in the rear garage of a bar next door to the Georgia Department of Offender Rehabilitation. His pockets were turned inside out. His chest and arms were full of stab wounds.
Light stabs.
And the cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. And apparently a few weeks before he disappeared, he had testified against juveniles in a robbery case.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can probably chalk that up to
this
not
one,
being a serial killer.
This, and
like,
that
this
one
guy got
on,
shook down, stabbed, beat up.
And this one wasn't on the list. There was literally 22 kids that were all strangled, dropped in the woods, dropped in a river, you know, like, so there are some other things going on at this time.
I'm going to put stuff in their pockets. When
Nice.
Like Monopoly pieces, dice,
coffee beans.
Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck is
half eaten Oreo, not my DNA. No. I'm thinking ahead, not my DNA. That would get me.
Yeah. You just get somebody else. Yeah.
That's how I roll.
Well, that'd be pretty easy. You just roll to the coffee shop, just ask somebody, hey, you want some Oreos? And if someone takes a bite, go, oh my God, oh shit. And just like take it from their hands real quick. And they'll just like give it to you because they're surprised.
Why are you wearing latex gloves?
And just be like, oh, I thought
there's a spider on your Oreo.
I'll get rid of it for you by putting it in this evidence bag.
That's very elaborate.
Yeah.
We didn't Instead have of just to, digging in the trash for some food and like,
Well, but not if you want a half-eaten Oreo.
I'm a murderer, not a trash
digger. I've dug around in trash a lot. I've never seen a half-eaten Oreo.
Hmm. True. Yeah,
no one half-eats an Oreo unless there's a spider on it.
That's a good point.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless it's like one of those like frosting freaks who just only eats the one half and then throws the other half away. But they probably did the twist and throw anyway, so there's not going to be any DNA on that half.
True. True.
Yeah. I'm good at Oreo forensics. I'm not good at most.
Well, you are half black, half white. So that makes sense.
It's perfect.
You better be good at Oreo forensics.
I thought that went without saying. I wasn't even going to bring it up.
So all through 1980, there's a bunch more murders. There's 7 more murders in 1980. There's 12 more murders in 1981. And again, the MO starts to shift in the middle. And instead of being buried in the woods, they're dumped in the river. And this is about when the FBI starts to get involved. So in mid-1981, the FBI finally gets involved. And they were the ones who first said they actually said that the killer was going to start dumping bodies in the water. Like they said it before it actually started happening. And then sure enough, it started to happen. This threw off the task force, a lot of the people, cause they were still looking for the old, they thought it was a different murderer, like all kinds of shit.
Well, the Atlanta PD was looking for a white serial killer.
Right.
And I think some evidence had been exposed about like finding fibers or something, which is a bad idea.
That's what I said earlier.
Yeah. So, so he just decides, that's when Brad started talking about little kids in their underwear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's right.
Well, so, one of the things is they at the FBI, the actual investigator on the case was black, and then they had another guy that was white. And the first time they drove through Wayne's neighborhood, they said that like some guys on the porch stopped playing dominoes. Like this person was mowing their lawn. They stopped mowing the lawn. And the guy's like, what's happening right now?
There's a honky in the back seat.
Yeah. And they said, there's a honky in the back seat. And they noticed it. And right then and there, they were like,
it's a black guy.
It's a black guy. Because somebody who's taking these kids, if it was a white dude, everybody would notice the white guy hanging out on the corner.
Which is good defense against the KKK argument later. Like, like that's why I was like, I don't think the KKK can be involved in this shit because,
These kids never left the neighborhood and they would be, you would know the KKK guy.
You
know,
if you're the willing, white pillowcase, you can't walk around with a pillowcase on and not get beat up in that.
That's true. That's true. Unless it's Halloween.
Unless you're selling them,
That's a bold Halloween costume in the ghetto. 1980.
Yeah. Dare you,
Man.
So that's bold. So because the FBI said this, they start doing stakeouts near bodies of water, the rivers, et cetera.
Which is actually kind of smart. Like they were watching like 14 bridges.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, if it narrows it down to instead of like vast amounts of woods, now you're getting dumped in the water.
Right.
Watch the bridges.
Because odds are, I mean, I guess that'd be easy. I don't know. You don't watch.
Well, I mean, there's locations specifically instead of this wide range of, of land, you know.
Yeah. And apparently it pays off because on May 22nd, 1981, some apparently detectives, two things happened. They saw a white 1970 station wagon that allegedly turned around and backed up on the bridge.
Like well, the officer, so this is where, this is where he went to the liquor store.
The officer heard the splash.
Right.
And then they, he asked the other officer, did that car up there just stop? And then right about then, they knew that it was flipping a U, but they weren't sure if it actually stopped. There was another patrol car stationed up on top of the bridge that said, that he saw it flipping around into the parking lot.
Oh, so the detectives were like down by the
water. They heard the splash down by the water.
So they were in
the
van down by the river.
Something fell in the water,
Yeah. So, and then, so Wayne says that he went across the bridge to a Starvin' Marvin's, which is a little liquor store, and he made a phone call to a person because he was a talent scout. He was trying to make the Jackson 5, basically, on the Jackson 5 model.
He was trying to get in touch with Cheryl Johnson.
Yes.
Who was a singer from a nearby town.
Wrong number. Like it was a fake number. So he turns around and comes back across the bridge and that's where they stop him.
And this for me, this was an important part in the research because this was the part where for the first time, instead of me typing Wayne Williams in my notes, I accidentally typed Wayne Brady. And for the rest of my research, this was Wayne Brady.
Oh my God.
Like I couldn't, like every time I saw comments he made and tried, it was like, I'm Wayne Brady, bitch. Like it just became Wayne Brady permanently in my brain from this point on in the research. So at this point, Wayne Brady,
Jesus.
And again, the Chevy that he's arrested in gets, it's owned by his parents. He's only 23. Like, this is, you know, I think that's worth pointing. I guess a lot of times when serial killers get busted, they're older than this, but he's only 23 at the time he gets arrested. So if he was doing these killings, he would have started as young as 19, which, I mean, the other serial killers were killing that young as well, but they just weren't getting caught yet.
Some at 15. Yeah.
So they pull him over though. And the first thing he says, the officer said, "Do you know why I pulled you over tonight?"
He doesn't get arrested. Oh, he does get arrested here, but they let him off. They let him go, basically.
Right. Yeah, I don't think
they,
they didn't take him in.
They stopped him. They pulled him out. They searched his car.
But what's super notable is because the first thing they said was, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" Like they do. And he said, "Oh, it's about the kids, like about the kid murders or whatever." Like he jumped right to that. And the officer said he thought that was really suspicious.
Yeah, that's a bit suspicious.
And he was like, "Why would you say that?" He's like, "Well, it's all over the news. And frankly, I don't think they're covering it well enough. How do you feel about it?" or something. And like Brad said, he was all bold, like just fucking went for it, started talking about what it was. And while the officer
very
was
arrogant.
Talking,
like he was
he
very,
noticed
very
a nylon cord in the back of the car.
Right.
No, it was on the passenger floorboard.
Is that what it was? Okay. Yeah.
So, it was like a bluish green, blue and green nylon, like ski rope cord.
Yeah. So possible murder weapon. But then they end up letting him go, but they find out there is no Cheryl Johnson. That phone number that he's supposed to call was wrong. The address he had led to some other weird place that was
like
nothing.
Like a hotel or something.
And the number he gave was false as well.
And this bit of police work right here is why in all of our previous serial killer podcasts, I'm so fucking blown away at how many deaths, like any other serial killer, they would have been like, and then he went away and killed for 5 more years. It's like somehow, but they connected the dots. They saw all this shit. They pulled him in 2 days later on May 24th. They found the nude body of Nathaniel Carter floating down the river.
But it was the body was found 2 days later. And then the autopsy stuff said that it looked like it was in the water for up to 2 weeks.
They said they weren't sure, but it could have been up to two weeks.
I think 2 days and 2 weeks. What are you, just like Super Sponge Man? Like there's that much variable between bodies?
Maybe there was in 1980.
Maybe he didn't have enough soul glow on. Didn't propel the water off of him.
Got lotioned up before he got in.
He was like super dry and just sucked it up like SpongeBob.
It was, yeah.
Like black SpongeBob.
If he had like a fucking 1981 Jerry curl with no soul glow and he was ashy and didn't have any lotion on his skin,
suck that right up.
It goes 2 days to 2 weeks easy.
Like forensics, you're like, I have no idea how long this guy's been in the water.
Because the oil would stay on top of the water, so his head would stay.
Right.
He would be very buoyant.
Yeah. Because if he wasn't ashy and he had soul glow in, he could have only been in there for like a couple of minutes.
Yeah, he would have looked like an otter when they pulled him out of the water.
I had so many real things to say. I don't remember. I was trying so hard. Like, remember this, remember this, remember this. I don't.
You got it. Remember it. Do it. Force it. Think hard. Think.
Yeah, we did that on Dolphin, Brent. Come on. Yeah.
Think.
You mean Porpoise?
Daniel Carter. In the river. It was 2 days. It was 2 weeks.
No, come on. You can move on.
Coming back.
Okay.
It's getting worse because of the pressure. I'm at the chalkboard right now and I'm like, the whole class is staring at me.
So he ends up getting arrested and they throw out, they look at a lot of evidence that they start to look at. And the number one bit of evidence that really kind of lands him there, the most concrete evidence, was these fibers. Like the reason that the bodies theoretically started getting dumped in the river instead of in the woods. Because with some of the earlier cases, apparently they started to find similar fibers on the victims to carpets that matched his house. Mm-hmm. They found dog hair that they thought matched his dog, which may or may not have been.
It was a match to the dog type.
But even then, I read some other stuff about the KKK thing that matched the dog type incorrectly, but we'll get
to
that.
No, there was a new DNA evidence in like 2007. They tested the dog hair and it said it was 99 out of 100 that it was their family dog.
It was the family dog, yeah.
Yeah, 99 out of 100. Yeah,
and then there was also DNA testing of his.
In 2010 that said it was 130 to 1 that there was no chance it came from anyone else. They word it really weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Well, it wasn't because it wasn't an exact match, but his DNA had all of the exact same markers.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, this DNA is old and it said there was like 130. There was only 138 other people.
It's 130 to 1 against the hairs coming from any person other than Wayne Williams.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which that's like a less than 3% of anybody else. So,
right. Yeah. So obviously there's a lot of evidence, a lot of circumstantial evidence, comes in as well.
A lot of weird shit happened. So They went into his home. They took fibers from a bunch of different stuff, from like a blanket, from the carpet. They did a bunch of different fiber takes, but they didn't take the blanket and they didn't take some of the other stuff. Like the rope thing, the investigator or the cops saw the rope,
but they didn't take
the rope.
Well, they didn't take him at that point as well. Yeah. He drove away.
I know. And then the rope was never to be found again. I mean,
the yellow blanket was like something that was super important, but they didn't realize it at the time because they just checked for the fibers there and left it. And then that it disappeared. There was
no more blanket's gone. Yeah. So, and then, once they arrested him though, the guy who was doing all of the forensic evidence on the fibers, they sent him off to go do the car stuff. And when he was done with the car, he seen all of the investigators coming back from the house. And I guess he took it upon himself to go to the house and he saw the green carpet. He got all the samples and whatnot, came back, did the test, and the samples that they found on the bodies of the green fiber were an exact match. So it's kind of, the evidence is kind of strong.
Yeah, the evidence is strong. I mean, they from what I read, they matched 19 different sources of fiber from Wayne Brady's home and car environment. They matched his bedspread, stuff in his bathroom, his gloves, his clothing, his carpets, his dog, and like some weird carpet fiber that was like especially unique to that house.
Poly blend or something.
Some tri-blend.
What's crazy is how tedious. I watched an interview with like the forensic scientist looking at the fibers with a reporter through the microscope. And it was like, this is a cross-cut section. If you look here, the hook upward angle of this fiber and color, it was insane. They said they likened it to finding multiple needles in multiple haystacks.
Right.
They said it was just ridiculously tedious to figure that out.
Yeah. And then there were some eyewitnesses that said that because he ends up getting arrested for only two of the victims, Nathaniel Carter and Jimmy Ray Payne. And there's a witness named Robert Henry who says that Wayne Brady was walking with Nathaniel Carter the night that he disappeared. Yeah. So there's eyewitnesses.
Holding hands. Well, this shit's crazy though. Did you saw it? I'm
sure.
The
old man say no, say yes, say no.
Yeah, no, yeah. But what happened was, so that guy originally stated that he saw him coming out of a place holding hands, like a man and a woman would hold hands.
They worked together or something.
They worked together. Yeah. Him, the old man and Wayne Brady worked together. So then though, later on, 4 years later, there was an affidavit that guy signed that said that he really wasn't sure. He couldn't really say that it was him. Mm-hmm. He's seen another guy, you know, it was two guys. He really didn't know. And it was signed. But then he says, on the interview with him, that he did and 100% positively could ID him with that guy. And they said, well, why did you sign this affidavit? And he said, well, I'd really rather not say who or why. But basically he was in prison for 5 years and somebody came in and had him sign this affidavit saying, these new statements. He said, they told me what to say. And after that, he still denies it. He won't say who it was or why, because it would cause an issue, he said. And I thought that was really, really weird. So somebody came in and probably told him, like, hey, if you sign this affidavit to kind of coerce the situation, we'll go ahead and let you out, you know, early.
Right.
Which is what happened, because there were people working against this case. They really thought that Wayne was innocent.
Right.
And there was one judge on the Supreme Court in particular that thought so. The rest of them didn't. So it was kind of a weird, there's a lot of weird shit that went on with this case.
There's a lot of weird shit with the case. So when the trial hits, and again, it was a pretty fair mix. It was 9 women, 3 men, 8 were black, 4 were white. So you can't really claim that it was one side or the other. Nothing I read said what tier of white or black any of them were. I couldn't get that information.
I don't think they had the tier system then.
Yeah, I don't know if they did. But so there was a good mix. And then the main FBI special agent who was in charge that presented all the fiber evidence, I guess it got funky because he did present that rock solid evidence, but apparently he said a bunch of statements that were weak and inadmissible, but everybody was just kind of eating it up and believing what he said. And I thought it was especially awesome because his name is Special Agent Deadman.
Saw that.
It's fucking badass. Yeah. Special Agent Dead Man, FBI.
So then the trial was crazy too, because I think Wayne kind of sealed his own fate. They said that he was on the stand 3 days, and on the last day, he kind of went nuts.
He tried to go on the stand to defend himself and speak for himself, and he got
super. Or it was the second day he got really crazy.
He got angry and combative against the jury,
And he said, "You want to see the real Wayne?"
Exactly.
Like, and gave it to him.
I'm Wayne Brady, bitch.
Yeah, I'm Wayne Brady, bitch. And then he called the prosecuting attorney a drop shot, which basically means like fucking drop you and shoot you because you're worthless. So. I thought that was kind of fucking
probably not the best move.
Yeah. No, not. And he was calling the kids that got killed drop shots too, like saying that they were just basically peasant fuck faces. That's what he was calling them. He said they shouldn't have been out running around at night. Like that's their own problem. That's why they got killed. Right. They did it themselves. They're and I was like, shot, Jesus yeah. Christ.
Well, the biggest thing though, I think is that, you know, maybe he kills those two guys. Maybe mm-hmm. he calls the prosecuting attorney a drop shot and he refers to kids as drop shot, but none of that means he killed all those kids, right. though.
No, it's
the problem. So it's not it's not a matter of like guilty or innocent. It's a matter of like prove it. Whether he did it or not, did they prove it is the problem.
I think so. Like, I mean, for one, the forensics evidence was there. Like they didn't have DNA testing and whatnot. Unless the investigators were planting, you know, that stuff, those fibers, you know, that
well, they
just
did go
said
grab
that
a bunch
stuff.
Of them.
Yeah. But that was after there was already like 15 kids killed that they found fibers on, you know? So I don't know. I mean, the other thing is too, like, well, it's racist white cops. No, a lot of them were fucking black. This
is
Atlanta.
A lot of them
like
were racist
the FBI,
black cops.
They were racist black cops. Yeah. A lot of them were the FBI guys were black. The head investigator was black. So, right. And the head investigator still to this day is like, nah, he like, it was 100% positive.
Racist black cops. They spell it with 3 Ks. It's BLACKKK.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Black. They hate black people.
Yeah. They have a rattle when they talk.
It's a different kind of black. That's their thing. When they shake hands, they go, kah, 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 kah. Yeah. So the guy's like, what? He's like, oh, nothing.
Don't worry about
it. Yeah.
So on February 27th, 1982, the jury deliberates for 11 hours. They find him guilty of those two murders. He gets two consecutive life terms in Georgia's Hancock State Prison, which is where he still is to this day. And even after that, like it was a huge media thing, like a lot of stuff that I read, like this was like a really big deal. Apparently in 1980, they had like a huge concert where Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah. and the Jacksons yeah. all came and performed this concert.
Yeah, they did a benefit.
Yeah, they raised like $100,000 for the Children's Foundation to help out with the kidnappings. Muhammad Ali, Robert De Niro, all these people were like wearing green ribbons in support of like finding the killer and doing all this stuff. So it was like this huge media thing because it was like people were afraid of it fueling a race riot. People were afraid that this was going to keep happening and there was going to be like a racial backlash in Atlanta because all the killings were all the missing children and the dead children
were black. And if a white guy got convicted of doing it, especially some of the things that were said, from some of those crazy white supremacist guys.
Right.
Yeah. They said the N-word.
They did.
And we'll
let Dave do that.
Yeah, I'll talk about this. So I started to look and it talked about like everything that I read just kind of had like this little throwaway piece at the end that said, and there was a guy in the Klan that got investigated and they reopened the case in 2006 and that was it. And I didn't really talk about it. And I was like, I really wanted to learn a little bit more about what this side case is. And I was waiting for it to just be pure bullshit, but there was actually had some teeth. So in August of 2005, a report surfaced that had been filed back in the, like back in 81, 82, when all of this was still happening. So there was a guy named Charles T. Sanders, who's a white supremacist, affiliated with the KKK, and he was an early suspect in some of the murders. Like the cops fully had him as a suspect. In February of 1981, there was a police informant named BJ Jones who contacted the intelligence division that was gathering all the information about the murder. And they were specifically looking at the murder of one particular person named Luby Getter.
So this contact, Jones, BJ Jones, apparently had been one of the Atlanta area's best informants about like white supremacist stuff, about the Klan, about all this stuff for 18 years. He had led to a ton of convictions and arrests. And so he like was like the white supremacists would confide in him and do all this stuff. And then he would inform to the cops. So he said that he met with Sanders, and Sanders had like a huge rap sheet, fucking drug dealer, drug user, fucking spousal abuse, like all this shit. And he had attempted to recruit the informant Jones into the Klan because he had expertise with explosives. But
like you do.
Like you do. The Klan, according to Jones, like back in the at this time during the thing, was saying that Sanders told Jones that he was attempting to create an uprising among blacks in Atlanta by murdering black children. Like this was one of the things that Jones reported to the police. And the thing that he pointed out the most was that at one point, this guy, Luby Getter, 14-year-old, backed a go-kart into Sanders' car. And Sanders told Jones, quote, "I'm going to kill that black bastard. I'm going to strangle him with my dick." So
wow, that's a bold statement.
That's a bold statement.
Killing a black person.
That's a bold statement. So several weeks later, Luby Getter is found dead, strangled in the woods outside of the city.
He had a mushroom imprint on his neck.
Right. We're not sure if it was a dick or not that did the strangling.
This is impressive, I have to say.
He disappeared from an Atlanta mall. They found dog hairs. This is, again, this is what gets with the dog hair thing. They found dog hairs on Luby Getter's body that matched a Siberian Husky, which Sanders owned a Siberian Husky. All this information was known to the Atlanta police at the time, but none of it was ever brought up in any of the Wayne Brady murder investigation, even though a lot of these things pointed directly to him. So there was a wiretap on their family because they were such big suspects. And his brother Don, like at one point he told his brother that he needed to go out and look for another little black boy, which is again sketchy as fuck, like implying that they're looking for black boys to kill. The informant, BJ Jones, said that the Sanders family had told him they planned on getting a black child killed every month in order to start a race riot in Atlanta. Carlton Sanders had a jagged scar on the left side of his neck and on his face, which a lot of people say was part of the identifying marks of the people in the blue car that were out there. And although Sanders never actually claimed responsibility to the police or anything, he told the informant that he was glad for all these killings because the killer had, quote, wiped out 1,000 future generations of niggers.
Damn.
So, I was waiting for Dave to say that. I was like, well, he's not going to say it. I'll have to say it.
But niggers? You afraid of the word?
No, yeah. I just
made
say it
Sid
in that context.
Cringe.
Yeah, Sid is, his balls went way up in his stomach right now.
That guy.
His mustache is wiggling right now.
So, and then again, there's other weird shit. So I was like, there's another case that kind of points towards this and not towards Wayne Brady. There were two guys named JoJo Bell and Timothy Hill that were both black guys. They were both teens that disappeared, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And JoJo Bell went missing on March 2nd. He worked at a place called Cap'n Peg. Like Cap apostrophe
Captain,
N.
Captain
Peg,
like the crunch.
Cap'n Crunch,
and it was a restaurant. Yeah. So my guess is it was a shitty seafood restaurant in Atlanta in like 1981.
Why do you think it's bad? Could have been great.
Yeah, like we have crab in a bag here.
Yeah,
you got crab in a bag. Did you go yet?
I didn't. So, one of our fans is happy right now.
So he leaves work from Cap'n Peg, JoJo, and he disappears. And the next night, the phone rings. The assistant manager answers, and it was JoJo on the phone. And he told him, "This is JoJo. They're about to kill me. I'm about dead. They're about to kill me, Jerry. They're about to kill me." And then the phone goes dead. Mm-hmm. So he reports this to the police, right? And again, none of it shows up in any of the trial. And then the night after that same restaurant, it was a different person, gets a phone call, and they said it was a woman who didn't sound black. They said that she sounded white. And she said, "My man is dangerous." And she said, "JoJo Bell is different from the other kids." And she said she liked him and was trying to get him released so that he wouldn't get killed. And she said, "Don't call the police, because if you do, they'll kill me too.
Sounds like the white supremacist guys.
So that's fucking weird. Like there's a lot of evidence point. And again,
I think there was just Sanders. I think there was just a bunch of shit going on in this, at the same time.
Yeah. Like, so Sanders and his brother passed polygraph tests. Not that they would have been admissible anyway, but they passed polygraph tests from back there.
The other thing is too, that the FBI watched those guys for 4 months.
Yeah.
The Sanders and didn't family. Have, they did nothing. Like they were doing other shit.
Right.
But as far as like taking and dumping bodies out in the woods,
they
like,
didn't they see weren't doing it.
Yeah.
But the FBI at the time had evidence that what they called the National States Right Party, which was also slash called the New Order of the Ku Klux Klan, which Sanders, what that was the group he was a part of. They were convincing all the members of their group to make sure that they armed themselves. And they were telling them that there was a race war that was about to start. And they were actually doing like guerrilla warfare training in the woods, like leading up to what they thought was going to be this big race.
That's
war.
Happening right now for fucking well, sure.
No,
that's
I know for
happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
But at
yeah.
the same time, that's though, but the reason I'm pointing this out, though, is this leads to the, I don't necessarily believe this conspiracy, but this is the conspiracy that surrounds a lot of what's going on here is meanwhile, the FBI also had records, which at the time didn't show up in any of the court cases, that said that, that black communities were being urged by black leaders to radicalize and get weapons, and that there were plans in the works to get weapons smuggled into Atlanta by the truckload so that blacks could arm themselves for the conflict that was coming with the whites. And a lot of
people knew about it.
Right. Yeah. So the conspiracy that ends up showing up is that people think that the FBI buried the truth and let Wayne Brady take the fall for all the murders just so that Atlanta didn't start fucking shooting each other.
Which
like
is
that's
entirely
the
entirely possible.
That's the theory that people had. And again, that theory doesn't say Wayne Brady didn't kill people. They were just saying, so did the Sanders.
You stuck to Wayne Brady so hard that I'll never remember this.
I can't remember the guy's name now. What's his name? So Bill Jenkins?
Wayne Williams.
So the theory here is that the reason that the FBI fucked up their evidence and had Special Agent Deadman say weird shit on the stand and all this stuff is they think that they were trying to get people. And the reason no one, they didn't pursue the other 22 murders that he was accused of, that Wayne Brady was accused of. They just did the two and then said, that's it. We're done. We solved the murders, because it pacified everyone. And if they actually dug in and found that white people had done these murders, it would have just popped shit off. So a lot of people think, yes, this guy did probably kill some people, but they think he was a fall guy for the other murders as well.
Maybe.
Because it would have quelled a potential race riot in Atlanta.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, if you kill the same two dudes in the way that all these other people were killed, like that's your bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like get original.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like don't strangle them and drop them in the same river that fucking the other guy who's supposedly allegedly killing all these kids is doing the same fucking thing.
Right.
So,
and there was, I mean, and again, it wasn't, I mean, that evidence came to light because it was strong enough that in 2006, they fully reopened the Wayne Brady case because they thought that
and there's,
Sanders
there's did. Some people like his attorney honestly didn't think that he did anything. They were saying he was weak. They were saying he was just a small man. Like how could he, which would be why he's picking small people. Even the two grown adults he picked were about 150 pounds, 5'5".
What was
you know what I mean?
That report of him coming all scratched up too. You guys saw that one, right?
Yeah, from the music studio.
Yeah, one of his alibis was that he was at a music studio and she said that she got a really weird feeling in her gut because when he showed up, she was like, hey, what happened?
His arms were scratched up.
In a varying degree. She said it looked angry. Everything about it looked weird. He said he fell into a bush, but she was like, no, that's not a bush. Mm-hmm. Like something attacked him. Like it looks creepy.
Yeah,
right.
There's a couple things that I learned that we keep saying there's no black serial killers. One of the doctors on the documentary that I watched, he's a psychologist that does specialize in profiling serial killers. He said that 1 in 5 serial killers is actually black. Did you already say that?
I said that.
Oh, when did you say that?
At the very top of the show.
Well, that's probably because I was still in a fucking scamper trying to figure the other parts. You say the 40% thing?
Yeah, 40 to 50%. Yeah.
Yeah, 40% now are. But the other thing that I want to talk about was fucking crisis actors are real, because all these parents in the documentaries that we watched are fucking crying like
fake
can't
cries.
Talk. I know. Yeah. I don't think they're fake.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I'm saying
real,
this seems genuine.
Yeah.
And it's been 20 or 30 years and they're genuinely crying and not able to speak in interviews and stuff about these children that got murdered when they're just trying to talk about the situation. And in all this crazy shit that you see lately, you know, the
crisis actors are real. Everybody knows that. If you don't, you're in denial.
Well, like, I bring it up because in our little SK Ultra unofficial group thing, there was like a level today of like level 1 through 5, where you at? And crisis actors was on like a level. And I was like, I don't think that's so far of a stretch.
No.
It was in the high crazy.
It is a thing where people don't believe that or do believe that. Right. But I think if you don't believe that our government's doing something funny or is not capable of certain things, listen to Friday's episode. Because you'll find out real quick what our government's capable of. Right. Like if you don't believe in Project Paperclip, if you don't believe in Project Paperclip, if you don't believe, you know, that we brung Nazis over and let them, you know, not charge them with war crimes and put them in prison and use them. If you don't believe that stuff, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Just wait for our next episode
because we're going to point out some fucked up shit the U.S. government did.
What did you think about the CIA
claim? I don't think he was a part of the CIA. So Wayne Williams wrote a paper.
An autobiography.
It wasn't very long, but it was a thing saying that
and he wrote it in 92. So
he wrote it when he was 19.
Jail.
He wrote it. Yeah. And it was back when he was just out of high school. He was 19 years old or whatever.
He was recruited to a secret to train in the woods in Alabama.
On the weekends.
Yeah, on the weekends at a secret base and learned how to do like plastic explosives.
He worked with C4. They did militant training, shooting guns, training, learning how to kill people, hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Yeah, all this stuff, like kind of like you would do in a militia or something, you know, like.
And then during that interview while he's in prison, he's questioned by a reporter and he's pretty forthcoming and speaks about the murders in his defense, saying that this is the case on this, it's the case on that. And then she says, tell me about this. And he brings it out and he's like,
where did you get that paper from? And she's like, I can't tell you that. And he kind of laughs and he's like, I'm not talking about it.
Yeah.
And she's like, all I want to know, is it true or not? And he said, I can't make a comment.
Finally, at the end, he splits hairs and says that he's never worked for the CIA or was employed by the CIA, but he could have been like, I don't know, he words it really.
He was in affiliation with, he was recruited.
That he could have somehow been affiliated with a group specified or something.
Yeah.
Which is
so
dumb.
Yeah. So, I mean, he basically says that he
could be just throwing crazy on the
true.
Fire too, though.
Yeah. So, and she asks him, like, could you put somebody in a chokehold and kill him? And he's like,
that's kind of a dumb question.
If
you taught anyone a fucking rear naked choke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they tried to do it to a 9-year-old kid, it's probably going to fucking happen.
And he's not going to admit to
it. If you taught her for 5 minutes a rear naked choke and then
had her choke a 9-year-old kid, she's
going to choke him.
Teaching her. So if he already knows how to do it, he was taught how to do it.
He's a 23-year-old man that fucking probably was a WWF fan. Every kid in that generation, you know how to do a sleeper hold then, right? How old are you, Dave? Huh?
No, I didn't know how to do a sleeper hold.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. How old were you then?
In 1980?
Yeah, during the murders.
What are you trying to say? I did it?
He was about the age that could have died.
The birthmark?
Yeah, I was like the age that could have died.
Yeah.
I bet you knew. 14, you didn't 15. Watch wrestling then?
Oh, fuck yeah, I watched wrestling. Yeah.
You didn't know a sleeper hold.
I knew a sleeper hold. I couldn't do
a
sleeper
hold.
But
when I was
15.
You
knew it, though, is what I'm saying. So someone that was of age at 23 at that date could have done the sleeper hold because everybody knew the sleeper hold because it was popular in fucking wrestling.
Yeah,
so
there's a difference of knowing it, though, and killing somebody with it.
I'm just saying that bitch could have choked somebody. I just didn't think that was a valid argument.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, anybody could choke. You know, Brad can punch a 10-year-old. He could choke a 10-year-old.
But not everybody can choke somebody with their dick. That is impressive.
That's a mighty clan.
I'll hold it across your neck and I'll push really hard.
Yeah, but I'll bar you with it.
I can't wrap it around. Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, even on a 9-year-old neck.
Yeah.
It also sounded kind of like
maybe it's going down the throat. Maybe he just meant
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, are you like,
that's bold though.
I don't know.
There's teeth involved. You better push real hard to make sure those teeth can't come down.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm going to choke that nigger with my dick and then we're going to
spoon. It's also a bold thing for a white man to say about a black man.
Yeah, too. That's what I said. It's a bold statement.
Pet his beautiful hair and then I'm going to weep into his breast.
Blonde hair and blue eyes.
you okay, Sanders? Nothing. Never mind. No, I'm going to kill him.
I hate him.
I'll kill him.
I hate him.
With his lovely ebony skin.
So smooth and silky.
She looks like a mocha.
Well, black don't crack. I hate him. Hate them all.
Coffee complexion.
Tastes like a Cuban cigar.
Extra hamstrings.
Hate them.
Extra hamstrings. So fast and explosive.
It's explosive and athletic, for the record. Look at this chaos over here. All these posts. That's why I repeated shit you said.
I got repeated shit because you weren't listening.
Well, I was working on other stuff. Damn it.
That happens every show, though. Yeah, it's fine. Every show you say something, I'm like, I already said
that.
Look
at all the shiny shit God in this room and look at this fucking, these highlights and notes.
You know what? You created your own fucking bed.
So read the sponsors. When we're done with the sponsors, I want to talk about a couple more Patreons and I want to ask you guys a question after that as well. So there's more coming. And do you have the other list while you're reading the sponsors?
Sure.
With all of this shit. No, he
I'm telling you, I got overwhelmed today. This Patreon, there's so many. That's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Overwhelmed by thank yous.
All right. We need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can find it at Target, Walmart, the grocery store, Little Mexican Markets, and we're working on some cool stuff to have you help us find that.
So we did have somebody say they couldn't find it at Target. Was it Walmart? And I said, no, you weren't looking in the ethnic section.
Right.
And then they came back and said, you're right. I found it. Yeah.
Most of the time, apparently every Target's supposed to have it. There might be some weird exceptions or out of stocks or something.
Yeah, Josema's Target doesn't, apparently.
But we understand you might live in some sticks town where there is not some stuff.
Where there is, you can order it on the internet. Yeah, they have black KKK people and KKK people. We don't make an El Yucateco yet.
No.
So... It's very Hispanic still.
God damn it. There was some person in South Korea that said it's $30 a bottle to get it to them.
God damn.
Yeah. Well, it's worth it. Get
Is that like South Korea dollars or like real dollars?
I don't know.
I think they speak in U.S. dollars.
Brad's supposed to be good at the conversion rates. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not Korean. I don't know.
You don't have a joke? I thought you had a...
No.
Come on.
I don't.
You hate Koreans.
I do hate them. I didn't know any of them had any money.
You just love their beef. Yeah, $30 is a lot for them.
That threw me off.
You know how many rocks they have to break in a prison camp?
I never thought about Korea. When you say Korea, I never think about money. I'm just like, Korean money, like that was like a throw off.
South Korea is a whole different story, sir. Yeah,
that was like a virgin hooker.
They have Levi's and iPods. They have all kinds of cool stuff.
I don't know about that.
iPods are old. I don't know why I said iPods.
I don't know either.
All right. Hot sauce. Yeah. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can get stickers and all kinds of stuff printed there, and you can save money by using code SOFAKING when you do so. So log on to their website to find out what you want to print. Thank you to De Leon Graphics for our shirts, koozies, all that good stuff. You can see him on Facebook or Instagram. Brad still wants you to send him dick pics. I say leave the poor guy alone. He's had enough. And also, every time you send one, he sends it to me.
Yeah.
That was a humble request. I like it. I like the veins is why. The really vascular ones, I'm into it.
Just leave the head out.
Yeah, just leave the head out. It's like pasties. Oh. If you put like a cock beanie on there, a little bowler cap or something.
A bowler cap?
That was Hilgenfeld. You get credit for the bowler cap cock joke. Thank you to Digital Creations for the mugs. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com to get instructional DVDs and buy...
Yeah, you can go there and learn how to do a rear naked choke and kill people just like Wayne Williams.
I'm
going to be just like you.
That's all I have on that.
Okay, so I've got some more. So what's the actual website for them to go to Patreon?
Patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast.
Okay. So go there if you want to support us. Again, I've got a list. We've got a lot of you guys that are supporting us, and we want to make sure you all get your due diligence. So big shout out to Kenny Elmore. I looked up his profile, and apparently he's a dead Elvis impersonator.
He impersonates the dead Elvis.
Dead Elvis.
All right.
And it's kind of creepy.
The costumes aren't that different though. You don't have to,
the costumes aren't that different. Like he does it with a webcam and a coffin.
Yeah.
He lays there. Yeah. It's really weird. It's really fucking
That's very offensive to people who think Elvis is still alive.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So that's what he does.
But also, Kenny Elmore has a podcast, IPA Today. I think it's IPAtoday.net.
IPA.
Yeah. So IPA just had today. To throw that. Yeah. IPA. It's about, judo moves.
Beers.
Mm-mm.
Huh?
Yeah, judo moves. Iba.
Oh, that's way that's better.
Yes, it is about beers.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. But that's the truth, actually.
Okay. Jeffrey Banco is apparently a chemist and an engineer, and he's pretty much out of work. He designs acid pits for supervillains.
Wow.
Like it, not just someplace for like, but
how
like,
you know, he's out of work. Like,
cause there's no, be, like,
well, as far
it's what
as
he
know.
Said on his profile. It's really hard for him to get work because there's no supervillains.
That's his only skill.
Acid pits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe just put that.
So supervillains are in the middle of mountains. You don't know.
Yeah.
He might be.
Maybe he's lying. Maybe he's they're just not fucking thawed out yet. And they're still off. Frozen.
Maybe we need an acid pit. We might hire him.
Yeah. Are we supervillains now?
I am, apparently.
Okay. I'll roll with it. I don't know.
Starts a bunch of babies.
We want to thank Philip Hickox. He apparently he has like a whole organization and he throws Super Bowl Monday parties.
What?
I'm really confused.
He get like
no,
it's
not
really
Sunday. It's the
no,
day
it's
after.
It's really lame. He gets to get like he has people get together and they go to where there were really cool Super Bowl Sunday parties that he wasn't invited to, and he cleans up after them.
That's more just a cleaning service. Yeah.
And it's got its hashtag Super Bowl Monday.
Start that trend.
Chris Smotherman apparently was one of the first ones to be on board with Gary Coleman. And he actually, because he's paranoid, he makes what he calls Coleman catchers.
Oh, and I've heard of these.
Like yeah, butterfly catchers.
No, they're kind of like dream catchers that you put above your bed to like catch dreams. But he makes it out of like a reed and then he strings shoelaces through it and he hangs a pair of small white Keds underneath it. And then he sprinkles them with Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
And the idea is that if Coleman shows up, he's going to go straight for the Reese's Pieces and his feet are going to get stuck in the Keds. And then when you wake up, he's going to be hanging upside down.
So it's
by
like
his
a cat
feet.
Trap
yeah.
for Coleman.
Yeah. Hmm. So,
I heard Smotherman, he sucks cock too. I heard that.
Did you?
Yeah. I heard that about him.
Huh?
That's interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting. Is that part of the...
It might be personal. Like, I might know.
Okay.
I might know him.
When are we going to get to meet him?
I can arrange it. You got $50?
Matter of fact.
Can I use
podcast money?
This is what your Patreon money is going to.
Yeah, this is what your Patreon money is going to. I'm going to get a blowjob from
it. Indirectly, it goes to Chris Smotherman. Yeah.
So AJ
is paying him every week.
We've had a couple of people on the show like who have given us like beard balms and all that kind of stuff. AJ Talbot started a beard balm company, but it's for like gay beards.
Mm-hmm.
There's straight beards and gay beards
it
now.
It has glitter in it.
Well, no, it's not actually like the term a beard.
Oh, beard, yeah.
Like when like it's like a balm for women who marry gay guys and to act like a beard, like a gay beard. Brent's looking at me like he's never heard of this term. Yeah. You've never heard of a gay beard?
I'm calling him a beard. Like a bear. The bear. No. The bear. You're
anyway,
a bear. I'm a bear.
Gay beard balm. And then two more. Leslie Carmen, who is actually, she was a grave robber and she had a change of heart. And now she's a grave enricher.
She puts stuff into the graves?
Yeah, she digs up graves and she puts like things in the coffins that she wishes these people would have.
People are weird. Like,
it is fucking weird.
So that's what she's doing to us. She's giving us our dead corpses.
Oh, maybe so.
Money on Patreon.
Maybe so. And then finally, we have Nikki Reed, and she.
That's a porn star.
She trains, maybe so, because she trains man whores.
Wow.
She trains
wow,
man whores
wow.
who specifically work on pirate ships.
Hmm.
I heard she's a shoplifter.
Man whores. There was that porn, the pirate porn.
Yeah.
So she trains
men. That was really popular amongst the females, actually. Yeah.
And as promised, I have a question.
Oh, okay.
For both of you. If a genie showed up and it was like a lame genie, like can't really grant a really good wish.
Like Sinbad. He shows up.
Like it's bad.
Like Sinbad
shows up right
shows
now.
Shows up right now. And he can grant you like a wish. Like if you were in
it's a shitty wish.
If you were in Dungeons and Dragons, it would be a level 7 limited wish.
Okay.
Thought I'd throw that out there. Somebody out there is appreciating that.
You get mad at me for Harry
you
Potter.
Can't get like you couldn't use it to like get rich or bring world peace or like cure a disease. And in fact, the genie's kind of a fucking wise ass and wants it to be something kind of stupid. What would your completely stupid wish be?
I know
I put you both on the spot, but I'm just curious.
I want ketogenic peanut butter.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'll just eat peanut butter and get a 6-pack. That's it. I'm done. I just eat peanut butter because I could do that all day.
Oh, that is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get ketogenic pizza though.
Dang it. Can I re-wish? I really like peanut butter though.
Yeah, but damn, pizza is good.
Well, fuck that. We share. I get a jar of peanut butter. You got pizza. Okay. We can share.
A stupid wish.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. That all babies are born with fist imprints in their faces.
Wow.
How does that benefit you? So
doesn't. It's no, a stupid it doesn't. Wish.
Yeah, it's not supposed to. Yeah, I don't know if yours would get granted, Brent, because it's not supposed to benefit that. You. It might.
Oh, it wasn't
might.
Supposed to benefit me?
Not in any major it's way.
Stupid. Yeah. Yeah. Him having abs doesn't benefit anybody else anyway.
No, that's true. I think it'd be good.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing then. I was going to re-wish, but.
No, I think you're good.
What does he do if I tell him peanut butter, though? And he just said nope.
He might say nope. Brad, I don't
baby,
know.
Baby imprints?
I don't know.
I can't have fucking jars of peanut butter and Brad can imprint the faces of all babies everywhere. I mean,
all babies, they're 7 ugly billion anyway.
Babies.
Like, babies are ugly anyway. Might as well make well, it
how
fun.
Long does a fist imprint last? Anyway?
Their whole life. Everybody just has fist imprints. It never goes away. Like, it'd that's be normal, permanent though. Skull.
Then everyone would have
yeah,
fist imprints.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would just be my mark on the world. Thank you.
I like that wish.
It's fucking weird.
Are we done?
Yeah. Other than if you don't know,
I didn't say my wish.
Oh, it's your question. Oh. You're answering. Yeah, you could load the question and be all ready with your dumb wish. Go ahead. Yours doesn't count, but go ahead.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Something he thought about.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Go.
I wish that as I pooped, the poop coming out of my butt made the sound of a lightsaber igniting.
That's pretty good.
That's probably would be a lot of people's wishes. I have to say, I know a few people, James.
Everybody in the public restroom with just giggling.
Dan Beggs in Hong Kong is wishing that right now to somebody. So,
luck.
All right.
Well, wait, what I was going to say was, please, if you don't know, and I know Brad hates fucking Facebook, and so do a lot of people, but...
I'm shutting Facebook down.
The things you hate about Facebook, though, is all your fucking friends and their stupid shit. The cool thing that I'm talking about is our Facebook fan group. Everybody in there is like
an idiot
and gets all the jokes. So it's fun. You should go check it out.
Checking it out.
Send in a request. We'll probably approve you.
That's like offending people.
Yep.
What's offending people?
Me.
Your mom.
I like offending people.
Oh. Well, Brad will be in there
offending you.
Saying shit
I'll be
like
in
this.
There offending you.
Brad will be in there acting like this. Yeah.
Yes. No, I won't. I'll do what I want.
He argues about no matter what it is. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
Yep.
All right. Don't be retarded.
Full of water's to our knees. We can't climb on the trees. Wash away.